Live Mike.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Live Mike Podcast. My name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and we're bringing it to you again this week, looking at the issues of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Lord knows they have plenty, and exactly where to point the finger here, because like I mentioned, the Steelers' issues are aplenty, and this snowball is picking up traction, picking up speed. It's growing, and it is careening down the side of a mountain. This season has quickly gotten off tracks here for the Steelers. Sure, they could get it back together, but as we sit here right now, we're going to look at the flaws of this team and try to deduce where these issues stem from. Now, first and foremost, we can probably point some of the fingers to the players themselves. I think this is a huge factor as to why these Steelers have struggled so much like they have in this three-week stretch, and even over the four-game winning streak, the Steelers barely squeaked out games this whole season. They've overachieved, I'd say, to a degree after watching the team in recent weeks, but talent-wise is a big issue why the Steelers have not been successful. And talent without depth is another mega factor here. Now, just starting things off with the most important position in sports, your quarterback spot. This is one that definitely needs some time to be spoken about. Ben Roethlisberger, of course, wanted another season, another year of redemption for himself as the Steelers quarterback, to come back, play another year of football, and try to redeem himself for that tragic wild card loss to the Cleveland Browns. Now, Big Ben's, he's had some decent moments this year. Some advanced analytics will try to tell you he's one of the worst quarterbacks in football. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but Big Ben has definitely struggled to a pretty substantial degree here in 2021. There's been some throws like we saw in that Bengals game, that pick six. That was on him. That was a bad throw. I know Big Ben can be reckless with the football sometimes, but throws like that, combined with his advanced age, his immobility, and not trying to be creative in the pocket like a young Big Ben once was, are huge factors why he struggled so much. His game was built on holding onto the ball for forever, chucking it deep, scoring touchdowns. That was the old Big Ben. Now that he's completely lost that mobility, he's banged up. Let's be real here. Old Big Ben is feeling the pain. He is not the quarterback he once was, and that's okay. That's the cycle of an NFL quarterback. At some point, I guess to quote The Dark Knight, you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I think Big Ben has been that to a degree, especially down this losing skid that the Steelers now find themselves in. Of course, to be fair to him, that fourth quarter against the Chargers was one of his best quarters of football, probably 3 years, maybe even one of his best games in 3 years. Big Ben has some performances up his sleeve, but not with the consistency that a consistent winner needs in pro football. So first and foremost, this is a spot the Steelers are going to have to address, obviously. We've seen Mason Rudolph come in. I think he's a fine backup quarterback in the NFL. Heck, he could carve himself out a 15-year career as your clipboard holder on the sidelines, but I don't think he's the answer by any means. He can string some games together for you. He could steal a game, I suppose, but he's not the guy. And I think we can all agree on this now, but the Steelers need to start worrying about that quarterback spot. And this is a big issue why the Steelers have been unsuccessful this year. The spot in front of the quarterback, of course, the offensive line, is another sign of a worry, to say the least, for your Pittsburgh Steelers. This offensive line, as we sit here right now, with Kevin Dotson out of the lineup, there are five guys that are probably better suited to be backups in the NFL, if we're being honest. Trey Turner is probably, I guess you could say, the best of the bunch, but he is definitely past his prime. He struggles, and you can see it from a game-to-game basis. He's not that dominant player Terry was when he was a Carolina Panther. It's just unfortunate circumstance of David DeCastro's injuries ruling him out, but the Steelers legitimately need to find another guard. Kendrick Green, I know a lot of people say he needs to get stronger, but that's not the case. He's one of the stronger players in the NFL. When you go back and look at his weight room highlights from college, he is a tank when it comes to pushing around the iron, including a 700-pound squat, which is pretty unbelievable to say the least. But for him, it's a technique thing, it's an undersized thing, and he is struggling because of it. You can't teach someone to be 6'6". The combine definitely reported him to be a shade under 6'1", and he's listed on the Steelers website of being 6'4", which is not the case. Kendrick Green is undersized, and really, he's probably better suited to be your middle three backup, that BJ Finney type role. And I think that's going to be one of the tougher things for the Steelers to acknowledge this offseason, is when you invest a third round pick in someone, you don't want to start replacing them immediately, but I think the Steelers would be foolish not to. Kendrick Green, sure, he could develop into something, but when it comes to your offensive line, that is not a spot you can sit around and wait and have either your old man quarterback Ben Roethlisberger getting beat up, or some rookie who's looks more like a deer in headlights having pass rushers dumped into his lap. You can't do that, especially at the center position. So that is a big red flag. Dan Moore Jr., he is someone who's decent as a run blocker. Definitely looks better with Kevin Dotson beside him, but he gets worked on those pass rush plays. And in today's NFL, you can't afford to have your quarterback getting beat up and running for his life. This offensive line is facing some very serious issues. And of course, right tackle Chukwuma Okorafor and Zach Banner, who cannot get on the field. I think it's extending past health now for Banner. I think he is probably not the player he was when he won the starting spot a year ago. Both those right tackles have their contracts expiring this year. I pretty much expect that spot to be wide open in the offseason as well. So as we sit here right now, I could see this team needing to go out and find themselves four offensive linemen and a quarterback. Hoy, that is a whole lot easier said than done, especially to try to accomplish in one offseason. Now, the Steelers receivers are in a pretty decent spot. You got Claypool and Deontay Johnson, who I think have some potential as a duo. Claypool's definitely got to figure out his balance type stuff, but that's talk for another day. The Steelers still need to figure out a way to round out their receiver room. James Washington has completely fallen off a map and doesn't get used at all in this offense anymore. Juju Smith-Schuster's his downward descent has kind of continued with his injury taking him out for the year. His stats is dropping year after year, and his usage being worse and worse. I really don't expect him wanting to come back because of that usage and how poor it has been from the Steelers, and just simply not using Juju to his strengths at all. So I think the Steelers are probably still another receiver away. And with limited draft capital, again, this is easier said than done. I think the tight end spot, you look pretty good at. You got Freiermuth and some good blockers behind him. Ebron's a free agent, but he was a non-factor again this year before his injury. I don't think that's one to worry about. Running back, you got Najee Harris still. So there's a couple of spots where you can breathe a sigh of relief, but the Steelers offense still needs a ton of hope. Defensively, now the huge issue becomes getting Stephon Tuitt and Tyson Alualu healthy, getting that dominant front seven back to speed, and then hopefully, because like I said, getting your inside, or getting filling all these positions is going to be easier said than done. Thankfully, the Steelers have a ton of cap space, but not a whole heck of a lot of draft capital. The linebacker spots, you might just have to rely on Schobert and Devin Bush again, who are obviously having down years, but you kind of just got to hope that having a fixed defensive front from a health standpoint will get those guys in behind going. They're undersized linebackers. Keeping O linemen off them is the strength of their game. You kind of have to bite the bullet with them and just hope Bush can return to form as one of the better inside linebackers of football, because he has really, I guess, in 2020 2020. That stretch before tearing his ACL, he's probably top five inside linebacker in the sport, and now he's one of the worst in the game. I don't know if he's ever going to achieve the highs that he did in his sophomore season before tearing his ACL, but I don't know if these lows are the player he is. I think there's still a bump in it for him, but with the amount of holes the Steelers have, it's going to be impossible to try to fix all of them, and giving Devin Bush another year is probably what this team is forced with looking at. I still think the Steelers' safeties are in a good spot. I think you might try to bring Terrell Edmonds back for another year. He's had one of the best years, or the best year of his career to date. Minkah Fitzpatrick is still a stud. Yes, he misses some tackles, but at the end of the day, he's still an undersized safety. He's not someone you want making 130 tackles a year, which is exactly what he's on pace for now. These linebackers need to step up so Minkah can be the ball hawk that we all know him to be. And the Steelers' cornerback position, once again, a spot of nightmare for this team. Once Joe Hayden goes out, the corners just get picked upon. You know it's tough when you lose Steven Nelson and Mike Hilton in one offseason, but Sutton, he's fine. He's someone that you'd probably want to be your backup corner, someone that might play more of a dime role. But aside from him, Arthur Maulette, he gets targeted, to say the least, when he's out there in the secondary. Looking across that entire front, Akilah Witherspoon was a terrible trade. He's someone you probably want off your team after this season. James Pierre has not looked like the player he was in that wild card performance. The Steelers legitimately, if they're not going to bring back Joe Hayden, they need two corners and probably to find another slot. So they probably need three starting capable corners. Again, this is a huge problem. The Steelers, we know their issues with drafting them. They certainly probably need to go out and sign a couple of guys that they know exactly what they're going to get in this offseason, because this cornerback play, once again, is reverting to form of that 2015-2016 Steelers, where such a weakness of this team, they were continually picked upon, and the Steelers, they struggled mightily because of it. Now, after breaking down the players here, the second half of our show, we're going to look at the management and the coaching and whether or not some of the blame should fall on their shoulders as well. So just hang tight. We'll be back with more live mic action in just a moment. Steeler fans, we're back with the second half of our show today. If you like the content here and you want to continue the conversation with me, first of all, you can follow me on Twitter at MichaelBeck56, and we can keep kicking it, talking about this topic and a whole lot of other Steelers related things. So you can always go ahead and follow me there. But getting back into the topic of today's show, we broke down the players and where we should start pointing the fingers. There's definitely spots all over the offense and defense that needs to be fixed, including depth all over the field, which is something that wasn't mentioned, but I think is one of the underlying things that I think everyone knows. The Steelers can't afford an injury really at any spot at this point of the year because of how big their depth issues are. However, looking at the rest of this team and the personnel that was in charge of bringing this player group together, the coaches, the managers, all of that in between. Starting things off with the coaching staff, I think Mike Tomlin can come under fire a bit here. You got to be able to really be able to look at yourself, look at this team, and realize what they are. And I think to a degree, the Steelers are obviously a team that is underperforming and are playing sloppy football. And a lot of that has to fall on the shoulders of the head coach. I know I'm someone that has defended Tomlin as someone that's been able to motivate his team, a guy that players want to play for, and someone, if he were to be fired, would be hired within the same hour of his final papers, termination stuff being signed. He'd be head coach somewhere else. That's just the fact of the matter with Mike Tomlin. But with the Steelers in the position that they are in and what has really happened this year, the Steelers need to really go back to the drawing board when it comes to tackling, when it comes to catching the football, when running routes, getting guys on the same page, offense, defense, and special teams. It just hasn't been there. The Steelers have really struggled as an entire team with the fundamentals of the sport. And yes, this is some stuff you should know by the time you're a high school senior, let alone an NFL pro. But at this point, I think a lot of that you got to start pointing your fingers towards what practices were like at training camp, what practices are like now. A lot of that has got to fall on the shoulders of your coaching staff. And I know there's rules in place that there's not as much contact in practice and in training camp like there used to be. So a lot of those fundamentals are going to be worse across the league. But the problem is the Steelers are one of the worst teams, period, at these things. There are teams that are great at tackling at the fundamentals, and the Steelers simply are not that. If you had to rank teams based on their ability to tackle the opposition, the Steelers are probably the worst team in football at doing that job. So this is a big one. I think that sword falls at the feet of Mike Tomlin, and something he needs to get his team doing a whole heck of a lot better, and that's something that starts in the offseason. That's the thing I would point the most the finger at Coach Tomlin. I still think these guys love playing for him and get up for him, and if it was any other coach, the Steelers probably don't even make a game of it against the Chargers. I think all these things starting to weigh on this team, though, are starting to break them mentally, and regardless of who the guy at the top is, it's just falling apart. So I'm not ready to axe the head coach by any means, but the Steelers need to give him a little bit more talent, of course, and some better quarterback play, to say the least. It is the NFL, after all. A lot of it's going to fall on your big time pass thrower. So Coach Tomlin, does he get a pass? Sure, but he needs to start doing a better job, especially in these off seasons and when it comes to the fundamentals of the sport. It's got to fall on those guys' shoulders. Coordinator-wise, starting off with the defense, Keith Butler is used to having some of the best talent in the world. All pros all over the field and Pro Bowl-level guys for years now. It's been probably 5 years of the Steelers having some of the best talent in all of football. And really, you look at some of these teams, the TJ Watts, your Bud Dupree's, your Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alualu, Javon Hargrave, all the linebackers he's had, the safeties, the corners they've signed. There's just a long list of talent the Steelers have had. And really, I think some of the success now, you can point to just having insane talent for why the defense has been so good. Because now, with some injuries and some free agency departures, the Steelers' defense has struggled worse than it's had ever in this Keith Butler era as the DC since taking over for Dick LeBeau. Of course, having terrible talent, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do, but allowing 900 yards over the course of two games and 82 points total in those two games is unacceptable for a defensive coordinator. So Butler, he's probably the one I'd say on the hottest of hot seats. This defense needs to start doing something different. Where it becomes a challenge is the Steelers personnel just trying to find another DC to match it. And I'd like the Steelers to think outside of the box and not just hire from within. I think they need some fresh ideas on this defense here. They've been going year after year with the same kind of personnel and same hiring from within philosophies that have kept the team quite stagnant. And the same thing kind of over and over that it's going to be easier for opposing coordinators to pick apart. So I think a big arrow I would point is at Keith Butler. And this defense just simply needing a new voice in that room and a new kind of philosophy, new ideas. Because, of course, you can have success with someone for a long time, but eventually it's just going to get caught up with you. I think it might be time to do something a little bit different. Offensive coordinator-wise, Matt Canada, I think he's brought a breath of fresh air to a degree for this team. I know there's a lot of people that would disagree with that, but there's a whole lot more creativity with the offense. The play-action game is leaps and bounds ahead of what it was with Randy Feuchner. This offense is better than what it was a year ago. Does that mean it's a great offense? I certainly wouldn't agree with that. I also don't think the personnel that Matt Canada has fits his offense as well as you would imagine. I think Matt Canada does better with a mobile quarterback, and they probably have the least mobile quarterback in the NFL. So that hamstrings your team to a great degree. I'm not going to throw shade at Matt Canada now until we can get him some more personnel that fits his group. This offense was kind of just slapped together, really. A makeshift offensive line, an over-the-hill quarterback, and some decent skill players. That doesn't make an offense for a first-year OC. I think Matt Canada needs a little bit more control here. And I still think Matt Canada needs to do a better job when he gets inside the red zone. It's just one of the areas of the field you can tell he struggles in. I don't know if that necessarily has anything to do with personnel. I think he just doesn't call a great game from those short yardage situations. So hopefully that's something he can get roped in throughout this offseason here. Another spot I might already start pointing the finger up pretty heavily here is the offensive line coach spot. I know Adrian Clem is someone that the Steelers were really hyped to promote to get that spot, but at the end of the day, he was another guy that was an assistant that was hired to replace Sean Surrett, the old offensive line coach, a year ago. And the conversation around it was, why did it take so many weeks for the Steelers to just land on the guy they already had in the facility? And I think that's one that's starting to play out more now. And I know a lot of fans and media types alike weren't very happy when the Steelers landed on Clem. The players kind of pushed back on it, but now with the offense line play, yes, they've improved throughout the year, but I don't know if it's enough for my taste and my liking. I would not be against them going out and try to find someone else to be the line guy for your Pittsburgh Steelers. I just don't see it. It's impossible to say to a strong degree what it's like with him without being in those meetings. Rooms, but this offensive line has struggled so much and needs such a talent overhaul. I wouldn't be against them going out and finding someone new altogether to try to do just that. Outside of the coaching staff, I think we also need to point the finger to Kevin Colbert to a degree here. And one of the big reasons for that is the Pittsburgh Steelers haven't embraced a rebuild, which is something they probably should have done. I know the Steelers have had a load of talent on offense and defense throughout the years, but when Ben Roethlisberger hurt himself in 2019, and yes, hindsight is 2020, the Steelers probably should have started thinking about life post-Ben. And instead, they've really kind of honed in on trying to win a Super Bowl with the last couple years of Big Ben. And now looking back on it, Ben has fallen off, and you need a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl in the NFL, and Big Ben isn't that guy. And the Steelers have built to win a ring with Ben, and really that's going to hamstring the team for probably a few years here. I think the Patriots, when they moved off of Tom Brady, sure, he went on to win another Super Bowl and is in another position to do it again here in 2021. But they embraced a rebuild at a pretty good time. They had a bunch of contracts expire the year Brady departed. They acquired a bunch of draft picks. They drafted very well. They signed a ton of players the year after. And really, one year was all they were down for. The Steelers here, they don't have great talent. They have a ton of money pushed in the future years. And right now, they're faced with probably a few years of poor football. And really, I think that's probably not the situation the Steelers were expecting themselves to be in, but without many draft picks and with a lot of dead cap tied up into next season, it's probably a year or two away, at least 2 years away from the Steelers really bouncing back in irrelevance, especially with how talented the rest of the AFC North has gone. This is a big thing for the Steelers. The Bengals are good. The Ravens are good. The Cleveland Browns, if Baker Mayfield plays good, the Browns are good. The Steelers are the only team trending in the wrong direction. The division is getting good at the wrong time for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They probably needed to start retooling a little bit earlier, and now they're going to pay the piper for it. Sure, Kevin Colbert could retire this offseason and push that problem onto someone else. I probably wouldn't blame him, but there could be some tough sledding ahead because of some of this management decisions. Sure, you don't want to be 8-8 for forever. You want to compete for a championship every single year, but pushing all your chips in the middle of the table when you are completely bluffing is a huge risk, and I think the Steelers may have to pay the piper because of that now. So with all that being said, where do you point your finger at when it comes to this team's real issues? You can always tweet that at me, at MichaelBeck56, or BT Steel Curtain on Twitter, and we can, again, continue this conversation there. I also need to remind you to click over to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, which should be your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers, from game grades to breakdowns to film rooms. Everything is available at BTSC. So make sure you're clicking over to the website and listening to the entire family of podcasts. There is great content, great Pittsburgh Steelers content for you. If you need to just get talked off that proverbial ledge as a sports fanatic with the struggles of this team, we're here for you. We'll do the therapy of being a Steelers fan with one another. We will get through the tough times and celebrate the good times. So just make sure you're dialed into all things BTSC. And thank you for listening to today's edition of Live Mike. My name is Michael Beck, and we'll catch you guys soon.